Well, it is time once again to speak with Brian Ross. It is time for Real News with Brian Ross. And we have some pretty important things to talk about. And I may be overstepping my bounds a little bit here, Brian, but earlier this week, I listened to the speech by Vladimir Putin. And at 69 years of age, I remember when my uncle Glenn Dennis, who was a Green Beret Marine, was on the ship outside of Cuba, waiting to go in. And I remember those times. And if anybody has ever seen the documentary made on that fateful week, which turned out blessedly okay for the world, Vladimir Putin brought me back to those days. And I really think that this guy is really put into a corner that scares me.
Well, he's put himself into a corner as well. He has all these troops surrounding Ukraine. He's been told lots of bad things will happen if he actually invades, sends a tank or a soldier across the border, and he has no real exit strategy. He's jammed up. He's asking for things that he knows the U.S. will not agree to. So the question is, what does he do next? Is he forced to do something that would shut down this pipeline that's so important to him, cut off Russian banks and the international banking system? There's a world of hurt waiting for him. And the question is, what can the U.S. offer him, I think, that allows him to have a graceful step back?
Well, without that graceful step back, I fear that we are, he basically indicated he'd go to war with all of Europe. And that's, I guess that's what scares me the most.
Yes, it does. I agree with you. But I wonder if that's a valid threat. Is he really prepared to do that?
Yeah, well, nowadays with it seems all over the world, we have leaders that that say things that seem unbelievable, but sooner or later come out to be believable.
You're right about that, and no doubt it's a very tense situation because with some small number of U.S. troops in the area now and tensions high, one little mistake, one little accidental shooting or trigger-happy person could set off another war.
All right. Speaking about setting off a war, let us turn to the Republican Party. I mean, yeah. we talked about this last week, and it really is coming to fruition where the Republican Party is doing their darndest to really foul up the next election by choosing sides between either Donald Trump or the Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell or DeSantis in Florida. It really is a wide open war that has really broken out in the Republican Party.
And it's a fight for the soul of the Republican Party, which for many is Donald Trump. Mitch McConnell obviously is not having any of that. He said it quite clearly. It was a violent insurrection. And that's something that the Republican National Committee is calling what peaceful discourse, which is outrageous, I think, for anyone who saw the videos or knows what happened that day. But they prepare to go along with this fantasy belief in lockstep with the man down in Mar-a-Lago.
You know, there's another story that I don't know if people are aware of. Oxford scientists have come through with a breakthrough. This is something from the science fiction movies, nuclear fusion that would produce free, clean electricity.
That's long been a dream, I know, and back and forth about whether that can work, whether we have the right. I've talked to people up at MIT and Harvard who have proposed all sorts of plans. You know, we have a fear about anything that suggests nuclear or a different kind of nuclear, but maybe that is in our future.
It's an amazing story. And if you go back in science fiction movies, the more you go back in science fiction movies and you see what's developing today, It's pretty amazing, and that's a story that I think we're all going to have to watch. But also, how about what former Vice President Pence rebuking Trump as well? And right. he did get a lot of support from Republicans.
You say he got a lot of support. He got some support, and there are those that are drawing the lines here. But for the most part, the vast majority of Republican office holders seem to be very cowardly about this, and they are afraid to take on Donald Trump, which is very telling, gives you an idea. He's built up a huge $100 million plus war chest, money he'll spend on the midterm elections. And people have learned if they trust him, he'll come after them. In the meantime, he has his own world of trouble in on the legal system with a grand jury to be convened later this year in Atlanta, and the ongoing investigations in New York. You know, the clock is ticking, I think, on the time when he may or someone in his family may be charged with a crime.
And did you ever think you would actually see the Republican Party come out and in your lifetime and say what they said about the January 6th insurrection? Did you ever in your wildest dreams
the party of law and order, how far they have come to somehow embrace his deranged view? If you read some of his recent statements, it really is, someone said, this is somebody that should be in a straitjacket. I don't know if I agree with that, but they're very strange. He has bought into this big lie, the complete fabrication of the rigged election, and he won't stop. He just won't stop.
It's pretty amazing when you look at that. And I guess I want to get back to the EU. I mean, Ukraine wants to handle their own policies. They want support of the EU and the United States. But EU itself is in its own quandary because they would like to stand up to Putin. They are backed into a corner just as much as Putin is, because they do rely, especially Germany, on the proposed gas that Russia can send them.
That's right. And there are economic issues here that are very severe and very serious. And I think both sides recognize that. And you have a classic game of sort of diplomatic chicken. Who's gonna blink first? Who come across as more likely to sort of make good on threats? And that's why I say again, Marshall, as we were saying at the beginning of our little chat, that it seems to me that Putin's in a situation where he needs a way to get off the freeway towards war. He needs an exit ramp that he can live with, and he can tell his people, I guess, that he's accomplished something. And no doubt, talking to top U.S. officials, there is room there for the U.S. and Russia and Europe to discuss the nature of security arrangements and what should be allowed. But there's no way the U.S. is going to allow Putin to dictate who can or cannot join NATO.
And finally, taking a look at COVID, states in this country and also other countries now seem to be, I'm not about saying putting up the white flag, but basically looking at the future and saying, you know what, we're going to have to deal with this over the long-term basis. And they're taking away many of the short-term actions that were put into place.
Right. And the mask mandates in our state and elsewhere are being eliminated shortly. And, as everyone says, we've got to get used to it. We're no longer in a pandemic or an endemic. It's always going to be there, and we'll fight it off as best we can. But we have the medicine to treat it, and we have the vaccines for those who are prepared to take the vaccines to prevent its spread. So you can say maybe we're in a better shape than we've been in some time as the Omicron variant has subsided. You know, the cases are way down. The deaths are still high. It's just amazing. 2,500 people a day die in this country from the COVID-19, largely the Omicron. And that doesn't merit a major story. 2,500 people a day, Marshall.
It's amazing. It really is. I think sometimes this world gets overnewsed and people just get used to it. It's like when we lost our first astronauts, you just expect everything's going to go as planned. And you forget that our astronauts were riding on billions of tons of explosive material, and it becomes an everyday thing for us.
Right. As one of the astronauts said, we're on a big machine here that built by the lowest bidder. So, but I think, we talk about COVID-19, we're all tired of it. I mean, we're now in our third year here. Everyone's tired of it. You can understand the movement. We could have done better in this country if more people had taken the vaccine. We are not particularly well suited that way. We could have done better. We're doing okay, but it seems to me, talking to the top experts here, it was a big disappointment that so many Americans would somehow bring together this notion of standing up to Joe Biden, supporting Donald Trump, not taking the vaccine, not wearing masks. How could this become so politicized? It's just stunning to me.
Brian, it's always great to talk with you, and we'll speak with you again next week.
Look forward to it very much, Marshall.
Thank you, Brian.